car. Track every storm.
Prolific rainfall totals.
Every piece of debris that's on the road's edge is a potential piece of debris that's going to fly down the road somewhere else.
Be ready.
We're going to continue to provide relief. We're wired for this.
Sky Stormwatch or Radiant Credit Union.
Thanks, Sky.
News Talk 97.3. The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. It is 8:07 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is a happy hump day, Trump day, but it's a very serious day as we prepare for Hurricane Milton. Brand new numbers just came out. Reduced speed now, sustained winds of 155 miles an hour. So it is the high end of a Cat 4. The other news is it continues to speed up. When we first came in this morning, it was moving northeast at 12. Then it was 14. The new numbers, it's moving northeast now at 16 miles an hour. We will feel storm force level winds sometime later today. The coast will probably get them noonish or close after. Middle of the state, yeah, closer to 7 or 8. Stay vigilant. Stay on top of it. Things could change. Joining us right now, Congresswoman Kat Kamick. Good morning, Congresswoman. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. We're doing all right, getting ready for the storm, but doing what we can right after Helene.
Yeah, look, all kinds of disinformation, information, all these things get thrown out there, memes spread. Can you clarify on federal funding, FEMA funds, were they used for immigrants? Did it take away from the funds needed to help any of these people post-hurricane?
Yes. So there is a lot of really, really skewed information out there, we'll say. And believe me, I am the most critical person of FEMA. Some things have been accurate, some things have not. In the case of FEMA money going to illegals at the border, that is 100% true. To the tune of $1.1 billion over the last 4 years. And we started raising the red flag on this 4 years ago when I had Alejandro Mayorkas in front of my committee, and I asked him, as they're engaging in this practice of sending money to the border through NGOs, they say that FEMA's not doing it. Well, it's because FEMA's block granting the money to NGOs like Catholic Charities, and then Catholic Charities is buying the hotel rooms and the plane tickets and the bus tickets. So that's their little clever way of trying to say they're not doing it. But we've been talking about this for 4 years. They've even raided the emergency temporary shelter and housing program, which gets used for homeless veterans. And so I'm glad that people are starting to pay attention to this now, because sometimes you feel like you're screaming in the wind a little bit.
Yeah, I bet. And then the other question is, and I know you're not a huge fan of FEMA per se, the feds, FEMA, et cetera, are they slow on purpose? Obviously, it's challenging getting into the mountainous terrain of the Carolinas, but are they slow on purpose, or is it the nature of this administration?
I think it's a couple of factors. One, FEMA is way too bureaucratic to move quickly and respond as their mission requires them to. Two, the state of North Carolina, the governor was exceptionally slow in declaring a state of emergency, mobilizing National Guard. They were completely caught off guard with this storm. And, you know, the problems with FEMA just compounded the issues on the ground. And then, of course, we all know nobody knows how to play well with each other. So you had a lot of great-hearted, good Samaritans that were trying to assist, and they were being retaliated against. And so we've actually stepped in and started compiling incidents where FEMA, the FAA, and other government agencies have retaliated against good Samaritans doing hurricane recovery. In fact, we're working with the Cajun Navy, who had one of their sites where they were delivering generators, they were delivering food, water, medical aid. It was roto-washed by a National Guard helicopter and created about $150,000 worth of damage. And it's just nonsense like this that gets in the way of what needs to be done, which is just helping people.
So I trust the governor, Governor DeSantis, to do the right things. I think he has been on the correct side all along and moves very effectively and efficiently in the state of Florida. I feel great about that. What about other, like, federal resources and FEMA? Will they be available if they're already being stretched thin? And now we've got Milton bearing down on the coast, a huge storm surge expected if it hits these populated areas, Sarasota, Tampa, St. Pete. I mean, you know, it's not going to be pretty.
Right. And that's one of the things that is a rumor that's floating out there, is that FEMA is broke. FEMA is not broke. For Alejandro Mayorkas to get out and poor mouth the American people is just another example of how this man is not fit to lead. We just gave FEMA $21 billion 2 weeks ago. They are flush with cash. They have the financial resources to respond. Unfortunately, here in Florida, we have gotten really, really proficient at these storms. And so the state, the feds, the locals, everybody knows how to work well with each other. And we've already been really pre-positioned because we were ready for Helene. And now we're looking at Milton. We've got 43,000 linemen. We've got fuel. We've got all these things in play, six staging areas. I was on the phone with the Cajun Navy for the last 2 days, and we have all the nonprofits that are working together staging. In fact, in Marion County, we have one of their pods in Marion County. We're ready. We're ready for the storm. It is going to be catastrophic, and I hope that people heeded the warnings to evacuate if you were in one of those zones. And as someone who drove up from South Florida couple days ago, I sat in those evacuation lines. It was brutal. And I looked around and I said, man, I hope that by the grace of God, this thing wobbles and pulls back on the pressure, because it is going to be absolutely catastrophic. I don't think we will recognize Sarasota if this hits as a Cat 4, Cat 5 down there.
Yeah, it will be very, very ugly. Same thing. Had family that came up yesterday from the St. Pete area. I-75 was locked up tight, and I told them to take the back roads. They did. It took them 5.5 hours. It still was much faster than I-75. Mm-hmm. But the good news is, Kat, as we've been monitoring the traffic flow, I-75 northbound appears to be running very smoothly for now. That could change, but it might be a sign that people were excellent about heeding warnings and getting on the road quickly and not waiting till the last minute.
Absolutely. I mean, we've said it all along, you know, listen to the warnings of local officials early, have a plan. A lot of people already had a plan from Helene, and just get out. I mean, I was driving on Monday, and it was unreal. I'm like, man, what should have taken me 4 hours took me 12, but I was glad that people were getting out. And, of course, the thing that we continue to tell people is take videos, take photos of your property so you have that for insurance and FEMA purposes later. 5 minutes can save you hours of aggravation. Have a plan for your property, your business, and your pets. One of the things that hasn't really been talked about is in this storm, all of these shelters are completely overrun. People are dropping off their pets. They're leaving their pets behind. And you're just not a good person if you're going to leave your pet behind while you evacuate.
No, I've got some things that we can do to counter that after the fact that we've collected certain artifacts of their stay and reposition them maybe at the owner's home or in their bed, something like that.
Absolutely.
I like that.
But, absolutely.
Congresswoman, you are always on top of it. We always appreciate your input, and we hope you and your other half, Matt, stay very, very safe, and we appreciate what you do.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much. Everybody be safe out there.
Hunker down.
Yeah.
Time for her. No, it's not time for a hurricane party.
Yeah, find those hatches and batten them down.
Batten down the hatches.
Even if you don't have hatches, you got to find some and get them battened down.
And once everybody's alive and well after the hurricane, then if you want to have a little partay, it'll be picking up the branches partay.
A cleanup party, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is 8:16. You're listening to The Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You can always download The Bob Rose Show podcast and never miss a minute. Wherever you normally download your podcast, just click subscribe. Election Day attack thwarted. Details coming up next, along with details and updates on Hurricane Milton. 97.3 The Sky. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. It is 820 time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Top story, Hurricane Milton, now a Cat 4, but a very high 4, 155-mile-an-hour sustained winds. But the storm is headed to us a little bit faster. It is sped up now, moving northeast at 16 miles an hour. I think that's pretty much was to be expected. So what does that mean to you? First of all, thanks to Radiant Credit Union for another severe weather update. But let's look at the winds that are going to be approaching our area. They're going to see some tropical storm level winds at about 2 o'clock today on the coast. So depending on how far you are from the coast, it could be as late as, let's say, 8 o'clock tonight. And that's not going to be sustained. These are going to be some gusts that are moving through, but you still need to be aware of that. As far as the storm itself, anywhere from very late tonight to anywhere as long as possibly 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. So that's when it will make landfall, theoretically in northern Sarasota County. And when these things change, and if they change, of course, we'll let you know. We're all over it. There are other things going on in the world. An Afghan man was arrested and charged for allegedly plotting to conduct an ISIS-related Election Day terrorist attack. Wow. This according to the Department of Justice. You know, that's got to be a terrible thing to be an Afghan man.
Yeah.
Because you could be a man, a dog, or even a rug. You know?
I had not thought about it that way.
Yeah.
But this
few people can come up with something clever when we're talking about a terrorist. But there you have
it. But it's a talent. This goes back to your point of why we should vote early. Hurricanes, potential terrorist acts. As soon as you've got that opportunity to vote, you really should vote, because who knows what will, air quotes here, disrupt normal voting.
And I know in one area they measure, and I think it's Pennsylvania, the mail-in ballots, I guess, Democrats, according to some polling, mm-hmm. way ahead in the mail-ins.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. So, vote early, because there could be obstacles that magically appear there when we get very close to Election Day. The Department of Justice announced in a press release that Nasser Ahmad Tawhidi, 27 years old, been residing in Oklahoma, had conspired and attempted to provide material support to ISIS and obtained firearms and ammunition to conduct a violent attack in the U.S. He was charged with conspiring and attempted, exactly as I said. Now, if convicted, maximum prison sentence of 20 years for the first charge, maximum prison sentencing of 15 years for the second. I mean, you're going to carry out a terrorist attack.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think the penalty might be a little stiffer than that.
Yeah.
But I guess that's the parameters. As charged, the Justice Department foiled the defendant's plot to acquire semi-automatic weapons, commit a violent attack in the name of ISIS on U.S. soil on Election Day.
See, there you go.
And I know anybody can invent all kinds of scenarios, but I did say that I feared some sort of an attack, and I thought maybe it would be coordinated across maybe several different states, to put fear into people right as voting day arrived, which we know historically many more conservatives / Republicans vote closer to or on Election Day.
But you don't, if you think about it, you don't have to do multiple locations. Think back to 2001. Something happened here, New York. We didn't know where else it might happen. Same thing with this. Okay, so let's say they go to one. You had two guys in their AK-47s. They go to two different polling places.
Mm-hmm.
What do Americans suddenly concern themselves? I'm not going near a polling booth today.
Right. That's
so
true.
It doesn't even take much.
Well, that's the essence of terrorism.
Terrorism, exactly.
Yeah, to create a sense of terror, even when there is not necessarily an act that is going to take place. Attorney General Merrick Garland,
your favorite people?
Yeah, Weasel.
Yeah.
We will continue to combat the ongoing threat that ISIS and its supporters pose to America's national security. We will identify, investigate, and prosecute the individuals who seek to terrorize the American people. Well, I don't know. I mean, you've got Israel. They're trying to knock out you know, terrorists.
Sure.
And you want to tie their hands. Yeah. You want to tell them cease fire.
Right.
Yeah. So,
you know, measured responses and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Let me give you some update on that area of the world, by the way. The IDF reported Tuesday it had destroyed the underground command bunkers of Hezbollah's forces in southern Lebanon, killing 50 terrorists and dealing a further blow to the terror organization. They conducted a series of strikes. And for years, Hezbollah's southern front has built an extensive network of underground infrastructure and command centers in southern Lebanon aimed at attacking IDF soldiers during combat and executing attack plans against communities in northern Israel. So using precise guidance in coordination with the Northern Command and Ops Directorate, the IAF carried out a series of strikes to destroy this infrastructure and eliminate operatives and commanders who were present at the sites. So that, to me, if you don't like terrorism,
yeah.
And so that is a very good story.
Hmm.
Yep, I've got another, I guess, another version of the same story there. I thought I had another one relating to what was going on there. But anyway, nonetheless, Netanyahu is continuing to pursue the terrorist. And in my mind, he has every right to.
But I like that he is taking the approach of talking to the people in some of these scenarios and going, look, our problem is not with you.
Right.
This would be a good time for you to stand up and take your country back from these terrorists. But, I mean, will that happen? Not likely. But I think it's good that at least he's trying.
The more terrorists that you can eliminate, the greater chance that the people themselves mm-hmm. will have some level of freedom and some ability to self-govern.
Right.
But the more bad guys that are out and about...
Oh, sure, you're scared to do anything, to stand up.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they've got the gang. They go around and they threaten, and mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it works, unfortunately. So we've got that going on. It is not that crazy, actually, on I-75 northbound.
I'm totally surprised, because I've been watching it the last 2 days, and we thought, wow, wait until, you know, day before, it's going to be really, really, really bad. But fortunately, that is not the case. So, and I even looked farther down just north of Tampa and was surprised to see how little issue it was. Hopefully, those that did stay, if it gets to the point, maybe they weren't in an evacuation zone, but they feel like it's dangerous, hopefully they can at least make their way to a local shelter.
And this is a big local story for us, but it is absolutely a national story as well, leading the news
mm-hmm.
pretty much everywhere.
It's huge, Bob. It's huge.
Well, it is. It's described as ominous.
Ooh.
Ominous.
Yes, you got to say it in an ominous way, I suppose. I'm just hoping that it's not like 2 weeks ago tomorrow morning when we drove to work in the pitch dark. We're hoping that it's not going to be a morning like that tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is, we'll deal with it.
Oh, yeah.
And as long as there's not loss of life, we'll get through it.
Yep.
All right. It is 8:29 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and coming up in a few minutes, we're going to connect with Bradford County Sheriff Gordon Smith, see how people are prepared in his neck of the woods. We'll do that next on 97.3 The Sky.
When storms brew,
the eye wall,
batten down the hatches.
Only one station can get you the right information.
Make sure you're executing your plan now.
Sky Stormwatch or Radiant Credit Union.
Stay alert.
We get storms in October.
News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. Prepare for Milton Day. Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:35, and the latest Milton. Sustained winds 155 miles an hour, making it a strong Cat 4. It is now moving northeast at 16 miles an hour, so it has spread. It has sped up from last night, where it was about 12 miles an hour. Early this morning, 14. Now it is moving northeast at 16 miles an hour. Landfall probably late tonight, early in the morning in the Sarasota County area, and of course that is all subject to change. Joining us right now, Bradford County Sheriff Gordon Smith. Good morning and happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Good morning. It's a busy day here in Florida, but we're all ramping up and getting prepared to take care of the citizens in the great state of Florida.
Well, I know it ain't your first rodeo. Between you and your family, you got about 150 years of law enforcement experience, I think.
Yes, sir. I'm pretty fortunate.
Yes, indeed. And so are the people of Bradford County, which includes the city of Stark. And can you give me the a general idea of, you know, the shelters and the schools? Some counties are looking at whether or not they're going to have school on Friday. What's the current status?
Our school's not going to be open on Friday. It is closed. And a lot of it has to do with people having to relocate, moving out of taken out of the area. People that are still cleaning up the storm damage from the last storm that are doing that. And it just creates chaos when people have to worry about child care, what's going to be taking place, trying to get them back. We always try to get schools open as soon as possible and back to normal. But this is kind of unique with the proximity of this next storm coming. And right now, like in Bradford County, we're having shelters open, not necessarily a lot for our locals. There are some medical needs, to make sure they have, electric, people with oxygen tanks and those kind of things. But ours is mainly for the people that are traveling. You know, we're dealing with issues of people running out of fuel. I know our service stations yesterday, most of them are back up this morning. Our emergency management is checking. My wife was in Gainesville at work yesterday. It took her to the third gas station and finally bought premium for her car to get back home. You know, so that's an issue. But I'm amazed. Talking with Greg this morning, same issue here. We've not had the influx of traffic we've had the last 2 days. I'm hoping most people, heeded the governor's warning and their local emergency management as to, hey, if you can, leave. And a lot of people have taken that. They've been through one storm. They've had enough. They realize the importance and the necessity of safety first. You know, and law enforcement in those areas have been ramped up to protect your homes that you're leaving, trying to keep everybody safe, stopping people. You know, we had a team over in Taylor County, Steen Hatchie area, and we had to leave there to come back home, relocate a lot of that stuff that's there. So a lot's going on. But I'm going to tell you, being all over this country and in North Carolina a few weeks ago, just before that storm, and talking to some sheriffs from there, Florida really, thanks to our great leadership, our governor, not just our governor, but our state legislature and the people we've put in office have really, over the years, have really put Florida in a good situation, and people look to us and how to handle these things. And it's bad. It's terrible that what goes on in our community. We have less loss of life. We still receive the damage, but building codes over the years since Andrew has lessened that a lot. So we've done a lot of the things right, and we learn from our errors, and we move forward. And it's all about protecting our citizens and getting them the services that they need as soon as possible.
This one kind of a different challenge for a lot of folks because in the past, if we have an East Coast hurricane, everybody runs to the West and vice versa. This one we knew was going to cross the state, still predicted to be hurricane status when it leaves Florida's East Coast. So that kind of changed the game for a lot of people. Orlando, a safe haven for a whole lot. Heck, they were digging and covering themselves with sandbags yesterday, so they're definitely in harm's way. And then you have a very heavily trafficked, 301 that runs right through your county.
We do. And to credit, I got to give credit where it's due. Florida Highway Patrol stepped up and said, hey, can we help run some of the lights? Because you can turn them all on flash and flush out as much as you can, but then you gridlock your locals who are trying to traverse through that, get what they need. So you have to have those stops, let locals get through that back up, and people that know the back roads from Alachua, Baker, Bradford, Union, that area. So we had to, we have to answer calls. Our deputies, we got them out in full force, double staffed, and they're doing everything they can, but they're still having to answer calls. Where FHP called up, I got the phone call, said, Sheriff, how can we help? That came from the governor's office, that came from the FHP director, and within 30, 45 minutes, we had all the assistance we needed with our traffic control from Lawdy up that end of the neck of the woods all the way to Levy County. I know they had some requests in there. They're stepping up to help us in moving traffic, and traffic is an issue. The next one is us is trying to get tanker trucks escorted to get them through to get to these service stations. The next issue, like an electric car, we had an electric car, they just run out of power. Sitting in traffic, runs out of power. In our community, there's not but two locations. You can recharge one of those vehicles. It becomes an issue all along the highway, and that's an issue this morning that's being discussed and how they're taking that on.
You've got a couple of large lakes right in your backyard. I think of Lake Hampton, which is a beautiful lake. Is there any worry or concern about flooding there? Because usually I think that's a pretty stable lake.
Hampton Lake's a pretty stable lake. We have our Sampson Lake, Santa Fe Lake's up, Kingsley Lake, one of the perfectly round, beautiful lakes. It's up, you know, so a lot of those things are already at high level. Our this morning, discussing with our emergency management, we're expecting in this short period of time from 7 tonight into, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, we could get 2.5 inches. It's lessened for us. As the storm make that little jog south, it's lessened for us, but you still got parts of Alachua, Levy, Gilchrist counties are still in some of the more higher probabilities and what they're going to get. Because water, you know, we've learned, you know, a couple of things in Bradford County. We run from water and we hide from the wind kind of deal, because we get the effects of all the downstream that floods these lakes, and people live in these low-lying areas. Our sandbagging operations have been taking place. We use inmates and we've bagged thousands of bags of sand. We have self-serve stations. We can't leave shovels there anymore. We just ask people to bring their shovels. Sand and bags are provided. Shovels disappear fast. I don't know if they get caught in the wind or what, but they disappear pretty quick from those sandbagging sites. So those are the little issues we deal with. You know, then when you get the flooding, you know, you got the no-wake zones on the lakes, and people that, you know, after the storm disappears, people want to get on the lake. It's good fishing time. And so we have to be careful with that and creating no-wake zones. Those aspects of it. So it's the little things we see behind the scenes, but we got a great community, a great area. The sheriffs all work together. One sheriff calls another. You know, it's just minutes. We can get resources and help. That's just the way Florida's set up, and the Sheriff's Association, the way our sheriffs work together, our mutual aids, it's phenomenal. And just talking with those sheriffs in North Carolina and Georgia, it's terrible what they're having to deal with.
I can't even imagine having, you know, spent vacation time in those areas and then to see some of the pictures and video of the utter devastation. I mean, you know, pieces of mountains, you know, sliding down. It just, I really feel for the folks up there, and they're going to have quite a challenge ahead of them, aren't they?
They are. And let me tell you, that Sarasota, Tampa area, you know, they're used to storms, but this is a storm. It's huge. It's going to be catastrophic, but the people there are resilient. They've rebuilt. Some of them have rebuilt many times, but they know how to prepare for a storm. They're doing exactly what's being, you know, advised, you know, by the emergency management, and their sheriffs, and local law enforcement, fire department. Let me tell you, we've got a great state that people step up and help, that unlike any other place. So that goes all to leadership. That's all about leadership, and that starts at the top.
Well, Sheriff, I went to high school in Punta Gorda, and of course, you know, the stuff that happened as a result of Charlie, and it is still a very elderly population for the most part. So I'm very concerned that such low-lying area, Charlotte Harbor, the Peace River, it pushing up there, people that have not evacuated in the past might experience something that is going to be devastating to them. So I hope they're heeding the warnings down there too.
And they got nice shelters. They've got great. You know, if you can't get on the highway, go to your shelter. They've you know, over the years, these shelters have been reinforced and designed to hold these type storms. And if you can't, you know, and I'm telling you, just like here, if you can't get to shelter, call your local law enforcement, emergency management center. Uber has stepped up, you know, Lyft, all those, to get you rides to the shelter now, not when the storm hits. You need to get there now and ride the storm out. It's safer if you can't get on that highway and get out of there. So if you're in that low-lying area, I'm with you. Go there. Take some cards with you. Take, you know, your phone, whatever it is. They've got some things to keep you busy.
Great information, great advice. Bradford County Sheriff Gordon Smith, it is a pleasure connecting with you. Let's stay in touch, and hopefully we'll all get through this together without loss of life.
Thank you for what you do, my friend. We appreciate you.
Thank you. All right. The latest on Milton, wind speeds, arrival time, all of those things. We're going to talk about that and all the other major headlines. We'll try to cover that as well. So don't go anywhere. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. You can download the Bob Rose Show podcast wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe. 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. It is, let's call it 8:50, 10 minutes till 9 o'clock. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we are talking about Hurricane Milton. It is a very powerful Cat 4 right now with sustained winds of 155 miles an hour. The storm is moving northeast at 16 miles an hour. That would put it hitting land probably northern Sarasota County at approximately 2 a.m. Thursday morning. And those are ballpark figures subject to change. But that's what we have for now. Of course, you've got your hurricane force winds that are going to extend out a certain amount. That we won't know until the storm gets much closer. As it begins to slow down in power and those sustained wind speeds drop down, the tendency is as if the entire storm begins to spread out. It'll be weakened overall. That's a good thing, but it will reach out to more people with stronger and possibly deadly winds, depending on how close you are to that eye, which, again, that will spread out as a storm spreads out. So, don't pay as much attention to, the cone of what we call uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Just be prepared in the event that, this thing, takes a swing your way, and that way you'll be on the safe side, shall we say?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can you imagine this storm reached, 180 at one point? Sustained winds.
That's a lot.
That's tornadic.
Yeah.
All level winds. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is devastation right there. And then it started to come down. We're like, oh, good, good. What did it get to, like 140, I think?
Right.
And oh,
here we go again.
It started going up again.
Yep.
This morning, what we have, 160 miles an hour. Now down to 155, and all we can do is prepare ahead of time, be ready, look in on your neighbors. You still have time. Mm-hmm. We're not going to feel any really nasty winds about 2 o'clock on the coast. Later in the evening for most of us toward the middle of the state, you still have time to check on neighbors, especially the elderly ones, special needs, things like that, and help to direct those people if they're better, off being in a local shelter. There's plenty of people that will help you. All right. So, and appreciate the conversation with Gordon Smith, the sheriff of Bradford County, because, everybody is going to be impacted directly or indirectly by this hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big one. I can't believe it came, just what, 2 weeks from,
yes,
from what we just had.
Day,
I just, yeah.
Right. It's like, okay, that's enough. Let's can we end the season? Can we just call it done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can. Right. No, don't put everything away yet. But I have a feeling that yes, we are going to see cooler weather and actually get something that looks sort of like fall.
Florida fall.
Yeah. Florida fall.
It was, and you said it several times yesterday morning. It was going to be a beautiful day, and it was. Because we had some cloud cover, we had a little breeze, temps were a little lower than they've been. I was out mowing the lawn yesterday because I thought, well, my goodness, it's going to rain, it's going to get soaked,
yeah,
it's going to grow like crazy, I might as well get a head start.
What a great opportunity to get those things done all around the house. I actually ordered a little portable air conditioning unit.
Like one of those one-room kind of things?
Yeah, okay. So if we do lose power, we'll be able to cool one room anyway, because we will have the generator, and this isn't a draw like your normal central air conditioning system would be.
Did you get one of those that you kind of roll around and you just vent it out the window, kind of as opposed to a window unit kind of thing?
Yes,
kind of
you can move it around, and then you have a flexible hose.
Yes,
and
you
stick it out the window, and I think you said you got to check that little where the water's dripping into the I don't think they give you a lot of space.
No, so you got to check that on a regular basis. But again, you're right, especially if you've got some older folks in the family, you're just trying to keep them comfortable. Just having one room, it's the cool room. It's nice to have that to go to.
Yeah, I feel bad for the rest of the family because, that door may not be able to be open once I'm in my sanctuary.
Well, you're trying to keep that cool air in it because you've got to get some sleep tonight because, we got to get up and go to work in the morning.
I know. It is going to be interesting and challenging to see what that's going to be like going to work now that The eye appears like it is going to land a little further south than what we first anticipated. That bodes well for me coming in from the corner of Clay County. So I feel pretty good about that. But of course, you know, even if you don't have the major winds, there's still a chance that trees are going to be down. I will be traveling with a chainsaw in my vehicle. It's not a joke.
No, he does. Yeah.
And I leave very early in the morning. There's not much traffic, and I very well could be the first one to come upon blockage in the roadway.
Well, and that is the thing. You got to be extra careful, especially if some lights are out. Because we know, again, we've got saturated soil. Things can fall. Limbs can come down. And you, well, think about it. You know, 2 weeks ago, we drove to work in the pitch dark. You about missed the intersection. I missed our building. I know that sounds crazy.
Yeah, the traffic lights were completely blank.
It was surreal coming to work that morning. So, man, those things that are in the road can sneak up on you in a hurry. And power lines. Takes me back to going back, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I think you were coming up maybe Tower Road. And a wire was hanging.
Oh, yeah, my old F-250, and yes. I hit, the wire was dangling low enough to hit where it hit my truck. Now, luckily, I don't believe it was like a high tension, one of those high velocity type wires, but still, nonetheless, it's like,
that's scary.
That was unexpected. You don't see it. The wires are black. It's dark out.
It's dark.
Yeah.
There is that.
So, yeah, we've had our challenges in the past, but look, everything within our power, including power, we will be on the air. We've got a big old diesel generator, and good Lord willing, we will be on the air starting at 6 a.m., and we'll start to assess what has already occurred, what will occur, and then we'll look forward to cleanup and trying to get back to what we call normal. Might be Abby normal, but
it'll be our normal.
Florida Ag Commissioner Wilton Simpson, always great information that he'll share with us. He is coming up next right here on 97.3 The Sky.